So I'll be speaking on this on the RG analysis of a non-Fermi liquid system, and this is the work in progress with Professor Sang-Sik Lee. So this is a brief plan of the talk, but let me just go into the next slide. And so first, let us remind ourselves the famous Landau-Fermi liquid theory, which tells us that if we have a finite density of interacting electrons, it does not depend on what particular system we have, on the specific details of the particular system. So basically, it is given by the ground state of the system. It is characterized by a sharp Fermi surface in the momentum space. And it is also characterized by the low energy excitations about that Fermi surface. And then you can write the Green's function for those quasi-particles. Now, in the Green's function, there are basically two parameters. Somehow this is not working, I guess. Okay, so the quasi-particles have a long lifetime, which is characterized by this decay rate.
It is very, very faint. You see it on the TV there?
I see if we can muscle up something.
But anyway, I just get rid of this. Okay, so basically we have two parameters in the Green's function which characterize such an interacting system of fermions. So first is this function gamma, which is appearing in the Green's function, which characterizes the decay rate. And since it is proportional to omega square, we see that the quasi-particles have a long lifetime. And this parameter z, which is typically between 0 and 1, that is the quasi-particle weight. And this tells us how much the original non-interacting electron has the overlap with the quasi-particle when we adiabatically connected to the non-interacting state. But this is very nice, but there are scenarios where this picture can break down. So we are interested in the low energy QFT of any condensed matter system. Now, if we have a Fermi liquid metal, then they can be nicely diagonalized in the single particle basis of the quasi-particles. But if we don't have that nice picture, in many of the systems that people have found, there we have the non-Fermi liquid states where no such nice basis of quasi-particles exist. And where can such states arise? Such states can arise when a Fermi surface is coupled with a gapless boson. And we can get a gapless boson by various methods. For example, we can get it by fine-tuning. And the examples will be the heavy fermion compounds where we have magnetic quantum critical points, or other quantum critical points for mod transition, or the pneumatic transition. Also, we can get like gapless boson by dynamical tuning. The example will be like Bose metals, or the nu equal to half quantum Hall state, where we have fractionalized fermion excitations, and the boson will be an emergent gauge field. And in these scenarios, the non-Fermi liquid phases will be existing in an extended region of the parameter space. Okay, so what we observe in the system is that there is unusual scaling phenomenology. For example, in this experimental result by Casters et al., published in Nature, they clearly found that there are regions where we can find non-Fermi liquid behavior. So if you see the blue blue region in the curve, there the resistivity is proportional to T square, which is the usual Fermi liquid picture. But if you look at the yellow region, then the resistivity is proportional to T, which is clearly a signature of non-Fermi liquid system. So that tells us that we need a new calculational framework that replaces our good old Fermi liquid theory. So we have to formulate some QFT to study such systems, but usually the QFT of metals are very hard, and they are less well understood compared to relativistic QFTs, because there we have low symmetry, and we have to keep extensive gapless modes in the low energy theories that we might want to formulate. Okay, an example of such a system, a simple example will be the Ising-Nemetic QPT. And from theoretical viewpoint, such a quantum phase transition is a very simple phase transition you can see in metal, and thus it provides a nice setting where you can study the interplay between quantum criticality and the non-Fermi liquid systems. And this has been studied by various people and various groups, and still it's a very active field. So what do we mean by this transition? For example, in 2 plus 1D, the simplest choice will be when we change from square to rectangular symmetry. So right at the point, you have a quantum phase transition where the symmetry is changing, and the ordered parameter is a real scalar boson, which undergoes strong quantum fluctuations right at the quantum critical point. Now, one way to handle such systems is by dimensional regularization, where we treat dimension as a tuning parameter. So we know that the couplings are irrelevant when we are at a dimension greater than a typical dimension called the upper critical dimension. And when we are a little below that, the couplings become slightly irrelevant, and the theories flow to a perturbative fixed point. So how can we employ dimensional regularization in our condensed matter systems? We can do two different things. Either we can extend the Fermi surface dimension, which has been done by various people before, and or another way is we can increase the dimensions which are perpendicular to the Fermi surface. So those we call the co-dimension. So this scenario has also been studied by various groups so far. Now, let us see how the fermions are scattered when they interact with each other. So typically in this system, the fermions are coupled with boson, which are momentum tangential to the Fermi surface, and so they scatter tangentially. So on the left-hand side, we see a Fermi surface, which is circular in shape, and so the fermions on different patches, they are decoupled in low energy. The ones only which are parallel to each other, for example, the blue ones, they talk to each other, but they don't talk to the red ones. But such a nice thing is not possible, for example, when we go to a high-dimensional Fermi surface. For example, when we go to a sphere, because then we have a family of tangential directions, and all of these will talk to each other. So for an m-dimensional Fermi surface with m greater than 1, the nice patch theory, or the decoupled patch theory, doesn't work. And we'll see that the Fermi momentum enters as a dimensionful parameter. So let us stress on the role of KF a little bit here. Now, in a recent work by Dennis and Professor Lee here, they considered the dimensional regularization for the circular Fermi surface by extending the co-dimensions to a generic value, but they kept the m fixed at 1. So they did not increase the Fermi surface dimension. And they could study the 2 plus 1D Ising-Nemetic quantum critical point, and they showed that you get a stable non-Fermi liquid state slightly between the critical dimension 5/2. Now here, in the current work, we devise a scheme where we extend both the dimension and the co-dimension of the Fermi surface. So naturally in this scheme, the m greater than 1 case is included. And we see from our calculations that KF indeed enters as a dimensionful parameter, modifying the naive scaling arguments when we have m greater than 1. As we already stressed that the global Fermi surface should be considered because everything is talking to each other. But still, we have used patch coordinates here because it allowed us to extract the leading order effect of the global couplings of the different patches through this parameter, which is the Fermi velocity, or the Fermi momentum. So here is the generic Fermi surface that I was talking about. So in general, it can be of any arbitrary shape, but we consider a patch at a particular point and erect our coordinate system, which is denoted by this KDM, which is perpendicular to the patch at that point. Its magnitude measures the deviation from KF. So locally, it is like a m-dimensional sphere SM, And the other coordinates, which I denote by the vector LK, they are just labeling the tangential coordinates along that local SM. So we can still define right and left moving fermions with respect to this coordinate KD minus M. And they can have many flavors as well, which can run from 1 to capital N, say. And then we combine them into a column vector, which is sort of a spinner in this fashion. That will help us to write the action later. So this is the action originally. So we have two patches of M-dimensional Fermi surface coupled with one critical boson in M plus 1 space and one time dimension. So this is how it looks like. So phi is the critical boson, and these two free parts interact with each other with a coupling constant E. And then we write it in terms of that spinor, the two-component spinor, and we see that, fortunately, we can write it in the form of a Dirac fermion. So if we interpret this LK as a continuous flavor, then each of this M plus two-dimensional fermion can be viewed as if it were just a 1 plus 1D Dirac fermion. Now, so as we said, that we will increase the co-dimension as well by adding D minus A minus 1 spatial dimension. So in addition to the time dimension, I have some other dimensions which are perpendicular to the Fermi surface, which I denote by capital K. We add some extra gamma matrices, and then again we get this nice form, which looks like a Dirac matrix, Dirac spinner action. So basically, in the left figure, I've shown how I have the coordinates. This red line is sort of the Fermi surface, and then you have the tangential direction and the perpendicular to the Fermi surface direction. So it is as if an M-dimensional Fermi surface is embedded in a D-dimensional momentum space. And the spinner has two bands. For each LK, you can define a Dirac point around which the energy will disperse linearly, just like a Dirac fermion. So one might wonder what this means physically. So physical realization for D equal to 3 and M equal to 1 is shown here. So it is just like turning on a P-wave superconducting order parameter, which gaps out the cylindrical Fermi surface, except the red line node that I have indicated. Okay, so now from here, we can find out what is the critical dimension for our theory. Now, naively, one would think that it is the point where the scaling dimension of the coupling constant E vanishes. But that is not quite true, because the true critical dimension is given by the point where the one-loop fermion self-energy blows up logarithmically. So after you calculate that, we find the D critical to be of this form, which I have shown here. And I have shown both the curves in one graph so that you can compare. Now, with this in mind, we expand about the critical dimension by this parameter epsilon. And we find that the effective coupling and the control parameter in loop expansion is given by a combination of the original coupling constant E and this kf tilde, where kf tilde is kf divided by some mass scale mu. And we can find out the fixed points by calculating the beta function for this E effective. And the zeros will give us the fixed points. If we are looking at a non-Gaussian fixed point where E effective is not zero, then we get this interacting fixed point as well as the critical exponents for the theory. So we also try to find out whether the fixed point is stable. By expanding beta tilde around that value, we find that it is indeed stable, and in the low energy, the theory flows to a stable non-Fermi liquid fixed point. So we have also tried to see the effect of superconductivity, or if there is superconducting instability in such a critical fermion surface, by adding a generic four fermion term, which typically looks like this. And then we have to consider one loop diagrams, ultimately to find beta functions for this interaction strengths, which I have called VA. And we have found that we get the one loop divergent terms, which are proportional to, for example, E effective VB when we are near the critical dimension, DC. And there are the other set of terms, which is proportional to kf to the power m by 2 vb vc, where d minus m should satisfy this condition. Now, both these conditions are valid only when we are near d equal to 3 and m equal to 2, since anyway that corresponds to real systems, we assume those hold in our calculations. So with this in mind, we find that the effective coupling constants are given by a combination of, again, kf tilde and the original VA. So these are the form of the beta functions that I have found. So typically the first term that can cause the usual BCS instability if we start with a negative interaction. Now the other terms, which are due to the presence of this gapless boson, they modify this beta function. Now it's a hard task to calculate these coefficients B's and the A's, which we have not done yet. So that will ultimately tell you in whether you have superconductive instability in the theory. So as I already said, that in the absence of critical bosons, there might be BCS instability. It is of the form. But in their presence, we have to determine the full beta function. So there is also a particular kf dependence, a particular dependence on the external momenta when you get these beta functions, which I have shown there. These exactly correspond to the BCS channel scattering, actually. Okay, so to summarize, what we have done is that we have performed an RG analysis for QFTs which have a Fermi surface, and we have tried to determine the scaling behavior of the non-Fermi liquid states in a controlled approximation. And what we have considered is a generic m-dimensional Fermi surface with its co-dimensional directions also extended to a generic value. And we have identified a stable non-Fermi liquid fixed point using this dimension as a tuning parameter. We have also tried to study superconducting instability in such systems as a function of dimension and co-dimension. Now, the key point here is that we have seen in all our calculations that when we are at m greater than 1, kf enters as a dimension-full parameter, unlike in relativistic QFT, which modifies naive scaling arguments. And so the effective coupling constants are combinations of the original coupling constants and kf. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you. Any questions for our speaker? Dima?
We have not studied that yet, I think, but that will be maybe a direction which we can look at, but not yet. I mean, we haven't done any study in that direction.